here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello and welcome to Zach's Friday Finish Line. I'm Ryan McQueenie, an associate stock strategist here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Hello. Today is Friday, February 1st. We've gotten through January. It was a long year.
January.
And we're here to recap this week's biggest stories from the investment and financial world. The coldest air, literally in a generation, hit the Midwest on Wednesday and Thursday. It did warm up a little bit, like, throughout the day.
Heat wave, yes.
Heat wave, back up to zero, sending even us hardened souls here at Zacks into a midweek hibernation. But the news, it didn't matter. The news marched on. And we're back to discuss it all, as always.
It was earnings reports this week, as the biggest and most influential technology companies in the world joined the Q4 fray. And you can best believe we have the latest from Apple, Facebook, Microsoft, and Amazon on today's program.
But first, we have to touch on the latest sentiment out of the Fed, the Federal Reserve, which concluded its latest monthly meeting on Wednesday.
So kind of an expected and then unexpected type of meeting and policy statement from the Fed. As was expected, the Fed, the central bank, refrained from raising rates this time at its most recently concluded meeting. But then the more important part of this, and perhaps the surprising part of this, is that it pledged to adopt a new measured approach to further rate hikes, taking into consideration the economic situation at the time. This is the data-dependent type of model. Fed Chair Jerome Powell and the rest of the board struck a surprisingly dovish tone, removing the language, quote, further gradual increases from the policy statement, and saying that the central bank is instead patient as it determines the future of rate hikes. Some economists, criticize what they believe to be an excessively dovish stance designed to cater to equity markets, while others were of the opinion that a data-dependent approach was more in keeping with current circumstances. This new dovish stance is also going to relate to the balance sheet adjustment plan that the Fed has laid out just 1 month after Powell said that the Fed's program of reducing the bond holdings on its book was on, quote-unquote, autopilot. The Fed is now saying that it is willing to adjust any details of the program based on economic and financial developments. The central bank also went on to indicate that it could even expand its balance sheet if necessary. The word from the horse's mouth itself, that's definitely not the phrase, but whatever that saying is, Powell had the news conference after and even himself admitted that the case for raising rates has weakened somewhat. This was certainly well received by Wall Street, which has clearly stuck a flag in the ground and said, hey, we don't want any more rate hikes this year from the Fed. Stocks up midweek heavily because of this. I think this is 6 weeks in a row we're on track for in terms of positive gains from the broader indexes. So they're loving this. And by and large, I think they're also loving the earnings reports we've seen thus far. Lowered expectations for some of these companies, but still able to outperform those lowered expectations. I don't think there's any better illustration of that than Apple. Which, of course, reported this week as well.
Yeah, one of the first of the tech giants to report this week. And Apple is one of like those tech bellwethers that can move a sector that moves the tech sector based on the results of their report.
It's just that big.
Mm-hmm. It's still that big, even if people don't want iPhones anymore.
Yeah.
So Apple posted its first holiday quarter decline, actually, in revenue and profit in over a decade on Tuesday. Revenue was down 4.5% to $84.3 billion, while total net income slipped slightly to just under $20 billion. Adjusted earnings per share improved about 7.5% to $4.18 per share, just one penny above the newly revised Zacks consensus estimate that fell after Apple's profit warning in early January. Do you guys remember that? Let's see. Total iPhone revenue plummeted 15% year over year to $52 billion in Apple sales in Greater China. This is a key segment of the report now, which includes Hong Kong and Taiwan and accounts for roughly 20% of company revenues. This plummeted 27%. The firm's dramatic decline is likely due to a huge downturn in iPhone sales in Greater China. However, not unexpected.
No.
So Strategy Analytics reported that iPhone shipments in China fell 22% to 11 million units during the 3 months ended in December. And Apple expects March quarter revenue of $55 billion to $59 billion. This is kind of a narrowed outlook as well. And that's mostly below a $58.98 billion consensus and implies an annual drop of 4% to 10%. So, the best quarter for Apple, but because of that outlook or that narrowed outlook we had in January from CEO Tim Cook, we kind of expected it.
Yeah.
And shares are, I believe, down in after hours trading.
Responded positively to it on Wednesday during the day, but I guess we'll kind of have to wait and see where it goes, because it feels like it's going to take some time for the estimates to come into this one after that. And I will note, friendly little reminder, you had to cite a research firm's guesstimations on Apple iPhone unit sales specifically because they're no longer reporting that, interestingly enough. So this was the first or second time. I think this was the first one and last time they said, hey, we're not going to do this anymore. So we don't quite have unit sales.
Again, no one wants an iPhone.
I think it's still interesting though, and as we mentioned before you recapped, you know, it's just that big. It's kind of funny how Apple is at the point in terms of sheer size where $20 billion in profit in a quarter is like, oh bummer. Like that's a little disappointing.
However, I will when I say no one wants an iPhone, it's like people still want iPhones, just not enough people want iPhones to make a difference. And I'm considering to upgrading my iPhone. I have the iPhone 8S Plus. Mm-hmm. Great. It's a great phone, but I would really love a better camera on my phone. So I would like the
10?
The XS.
Whatever. Plus, you can get a plus on that too.
I think the XS Plus is bigger.
It is.
Yeah. And my 8S Plus. And I don't think I can I don't think I can handle a bigger phone than my current Plus phone.
Yeah,
cuz my current Plus phone can hardly fit into my pockets. Yeah. So that's it's a dilemma.
It's the largest display they've ever released on a phone.
Yeah.
You should look into whether the body is any actually bigger though, because it's the largest display because it's the edge to edge on the 10 framework.
So yeah.
I don't know if it's how much bigger of holding it in your hand is.
I think it's probably might be a little bit bigger. Still.
Yeah. Those are beasts. Those are huge things. Yeah.
It's like the Note, the Samsung.
Basically,
Note.
Yeah, basically. Except for this one, I don't think has had issues with blowing up in
this is true.
Hands.
This is true.
Anyway, so Apple, I was going to say it's the first of the Fangs this week, but we already had Netflix. But there's Netflix early, and then you get the Fangs all kind of in a group later in earnings season.
Yes.
We also had the F in Fang reporting Facebook on Wednesday afternoon. Adjusted earnings of $2.38 per share beat the Zacks consensus estimate by a healthy 21 cents beat there. Revenues came in at $16.9 billion. That comfortably surpassed the Zacks consensus estimate by about $500 million. Adjusted earnings up about 65% from the year-ago quarter on revenue growth of 30%. However, Facebook did warn that its next report could mark a slowdown. It anticipates a revenue deceleration in Q1. Funny little wording there. And it thinks that full-year expenses will jump 40% to 50%. The company is obviously currently in the process of building an independent body that will hear people's appeal over Facebook's content decisions. Real human beings doing the disputes and the judging. And that requires that you hire people, train those people, set up the parameters for that. All very expensive things. And clearly looking for expenses to jump 40% to 50%, spending a ton of money on that. But we got, one of my favorite things about the Facebook reports where they just kind of flex how many ridiculous numbers of people are on their platforms mm-hmm. these days. So whatever this means to you, here goes. Facebook estimates that more than 2.7 billion people now use its quote-unquote family of services, which of course includes Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, and Messenger on a monthly basis. Moreover, more than 2 billion people use at least one of its services daily on average. Daily active users on Facebook specifically grew 122 million year over year, while monthly active users were up 191 million from the year ago quarter. 500 million daily active users now watching Instagram stories every day.
That I believe.
That's crazy. Crazy growth from Instagram stories. And what has it been? Not even 2 full years of Instagram stories? Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds accurate.
Somewhere in there. Yeah. So just taking off like a rocket. And then, of course, you know, WhatsApp has a crazy global reach. And mm-hmm. they've pushed everybody onto Messenger now. So
How many people are on Earth? What, 7 billion?
Yeah, something like that.
So
we're getting to almost majority territory eventually here.
So 7 billion almost, so we're nearing like almost a half
yeah.
of the people on Earth.
It's over a third for sure. Comfortably over a third.
Comfortably over a third of the people on this Earth
are using a
Facebook service.
And every month.
And maybe, and probably the people, there's some people probably who are using WhatsApp and Instagram.
All of them. I would like
yes, but like there's some people who are using WhatsApp and Instagram may not know that it's a Facebook thing.
Sure, yeah.
So definitely. Either like, yeah, Facebook is hashtag cancel.
Yeah, okay. Delete my Facebook account, but I'm still on my Instagram.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to my family on WhatsApp.
No, they own you. They will own us forever.
Yeah, that's interesting. I would like to see the public awareness of that. Like, I would like to see a man on the street interview about that, because if we can't even get
the presidents
right.
We need a Jimmy Kimmel, a question and answer in LA or something.
I think we should write to Kimmel about this if he doesn't already listen to the show. Anyway, but we're talking about the global reach here. Let's talk a little bit more specifically about that. In the current quarter, growth in Asia Pacific, the Asia Pacific segment was the strongest in terms of growth, revenue up 34% year over year. Average revenue per user, though, was strongest in the United States and Canada. Growth there was up over 30% year over year. So interesting that revenue growth outpacing the average revenue per user growth in the U.S. outpacing that of the other regions, but then there's still places where total revenue is growing at faster rates. So again, digest that how you will. I guess adjust expectations accordingly based off of what Facebook said about its current quarter and the full year, spending a lot more money. But when you've got just insane continued growth like that, I guess it just doesn't matter. And you can continue to post record profits quarter after quarter after quarter.
What privacy concerns.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas so much for this lack of trust.
Yes.
We haven't seen it show up in the financial results yet.
No.
At least not in this quarter. And the Mark Zuckerberg machine powers on.
Wow.
So we're going to move on from another.
And you can take that sentence as you want to.
Another report on Monday was, or excuse me, Wednesday afternoon was Microsoft.
Microsoft, yes. Huge name in the cloud industry, not just your, not just the name that powers your
computers anymore.
Work desktop.
Certainly.
So they delivered quarterly earnings of $1.10 per share, and this beat the Zacks consensus estimate by a penny, but jumped nearly 15% year over year. Revenues of $32.5 billion were up 15% and also ahead of our Zacks consensus estimate. The productivity and business processes segment, and this includes Office and LinkedIn, increased a nice 13% to $10.1 billion. But the big story is the Dynamics 365 CRM business, which notched revenue growth of 51%. Microsoft Teams is now used by roughly 420,000 1,000 organizations, including 89 of the Fortune 100. That's pretty impressive. Intelligent cloud revenue surged 20% to $9.4 billion. And the high point was, again, was Azure.
Yeah, that one. The third one was my favorite.
Azure? Okay. It's one of the three or none of the above. And this surged a nice 76% year over year, and more personal computing revenue was up 7%.
The three people that listen that are cloud platform developers just rolled their eyes really hard at us.
I know.
We've never been able to get to that
$13 billion. Azure.
I think there's it's so that one, but the other two that you said sound cooler to me. So I prefer, in my head, I do all three of the ones that you just said.
Because isn't it like a name for blue? Like the color blue?
They could be.
Isn't it?
Like cloud? I mean, clouds are white though, so I don't know. Unless it's about to rain.
Now I need to Google this. Or I should Bing it.
Yeah,
because
Bing
we're
it.
Talking about
oh,
Microsoft.
Oh my goodness, yes. I somehow downloaded an extension on my Chrome the other day that instead of being Google to search, it was Bing, and it just made me really frustrated. Still not a big Bing fan,
so
but
Danny,
everything else I like.
Danny, our audio editor, just Googled it and not Binged it, and Azure is blue.
It stands for blue.
It's blue.
Okay, got it. That probably makes sense if you use it. It's like probably blue or something on the inside of it. As you can tell, we're not personally cloud developers, so
okay, moving on. Microsoft earnings. Okay, so looking ahead for fiscal 2019, operating expenses are expected to grow roughly 8%, driven by continuing investments in GitHub, commercial cloud, LinkedIn, gaming, and AI. Nonetheless, management expects operating margin to increase slightly on a year-over-year basis. For Q3 of fiscal 2019, Microsoft expects between $29.4 billion and $30.1 billion in revenues, and the midpoint of that range was just below consensus estimates. But overall, Microsoft delivered another fantastic report.
Absolutely.
Solid numbers, honestly continuing to crush it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of the better performing cloud stocks.
Yeah, over the past couple of years,
exactly.
Definitely. And it's cloud rival with a much easier to say name for its public cloud platform. Amazon reported on Thursday afternoon, posted Q4 2018 earnings of $6.04 per share, adjusted figures there, beating Zach's consensus estimate by 49 cents and improving 61.5% year over year.
Okay, and I will say, this is a beat that's
within reason.
Within reason.
Yeah, which we're not used to.
I'm not used to this with Amazon.
Yeah. Total revenue for Amazon was $72.4 billion in the quarter. It's a very good point by you.
It was $3 last quarter.
Yeah, some of them are weird. It just, I think it's because they don't guide for revenue now, but it's just the guidance for earnings is so up in the air. But anyway, revenue comfortably surpassed Zach's consensus estimate as well. Revenue up almost 20% year over year. And then Amazon Web Services, also known as AWS, the Microsoft rival public cloud platform, biggest one in the world, largest market share of the cloud business. It's about 10% of Amazon's revenue these days. That was up 45% year over year to $7.4 billion. Operating income in AWS was $2.18 billion, almost $2.2 billion there. That's up almost 61% year over year. And that is key because we got to remember with Amazon, the e-commerce stuff and the retail stuff is razor thin margins, if not operating at losses. So this is where the profit is coming from, operating income from AWS, though the retail side, pretty good quarter for the retail side still. 2018 holiday season was the biggest ever for Amazon. They said that customers purchased millions more devices compared with the 2017 holiday shopping season. And look at that. The Echo Dot was the number one selling product on Amazon globally from any manufacturer in any quarter during the holiday season. So
makes sense. They're a deal.
Mm-hmm. They're a deal, and they are always the first deal that you see when you go on Amazon. They really liked selling those Echo Dots. In terms of the geographical stuff, the North American segment saw operating income of $2.3 billion. That's up 33%. International segment, still losing money there, a loss of $642 million on the international side. A little bit better, though. Last year, lost $920 million, roughly. So improving on the international margins. And then guidance for Q1 2019, Amazon expects revenue to grow between 10% and 18% year over year. Our Zacks consensus estimate was looking for revenue growth of nearly 20%. And reminder, they posted 19.7% revenue growth in this quarter. So cooling off a little bit and perhaps a little bit disappointing on the sales guidance. Amazon down a smidge here, about 3% in at the open on Friday. But of course, these things take a while to play out. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. I saw something interesting, though, on account from the conference call. AWS mentioned like 75 times. The retail business on the conference call mentioned just 2 times. So really hammering home things like AWS and Alexa and kind of thinking of talking about everything but the retail side of the business right now, which is interesting. Gives you a little sense of the focus. Also gives you a little sense of what the analysts care about. And definitely an interesting count there from Amazon. That's a lot of earnings news. And we didn't even, this was just some of it. We just scraped the surface of the really big tech companies. There was plenty
Tesla
more
reported this week.
Plenty more to digest out there. We got Google on Monday next
Google's
week.
On Monday.
That'll wrap up our fangs for us. So yeah, a lot of stuff there in the Fed. We had trade talks going on. We had a great jobs report this morning we didn't even touch on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too cold for me to keep up with everything this week. It's warming up this weekend.
It's going to be almost 50 degrees.
I might go to the beach or something.
That might be a little aggressive.
We could go tanning outside, maybe we could do. We could do lunch outside today.
Brunch outside, exactly.
So shoot us an email, podcast@zacks.com. If you thought we missed something or if you want us to cover a different story next week, you can also check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. Remember to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for joining us. Stay warm out there. Stay dry out there. We'll see you next time on Zach's Friday Finish Line.